Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How close was this to happening?
Well, that's the thing. And one of the things that obviously drives all of these sliding doors moments, these aren't just ideas that we've plucked off the top of our heads. These are moments when it genuinely could have gone a different way. Mourinho and Guardiola were the two candidates. Mourinho was considered by a big part of the Barcelona board of directors. By the way, this is 2008, for those wondering. A big part of the board of directors, the best candidate, because he's seen, as Mourinho has been throughout his career, as a guarantee. He's seen as this is the guy we would win with. And it's worth noting something really, really big at this stage. This is also a guy whose connection to Spanish football is Barcelona. Now, I know most people know this, but it's worth stressing at this point. This is a guy who it was understood at some stage would be Barcelona manager. He had worked with Bobby Robson. He would work with Luis Van Gaal. He'd been very, very vociferous about his connection to Barcelona. There's famous.
He'd done every other coaching job at the club, hadn't he? Because he was translator. Exactly. He was sort of an opposition scout. He was an assistant. So it was kind of the logical next step.
In fact, there's, I think, because it's been talked about a little bit this week, so it's come back to mind. I must admit I'd forgotten this. But I think I'm right in saying that Xavi Hernandez's debut for Barcelona was away at Lleida in the Copa del Rey under Luis Van Gaal. Well, that day, because Van Gaal could already see things in Mourinho, he basically said, right, Mo, you take the team. So Mourinho was effectively Xavi's manager at that point because Van Gaal was trying to encourage him to take more responsibility. So effectively gave Mourinho some of the Copa del Rey games. So this was really, really close. Actually, it's worth noting at this point that Graham Hunter tells this story very well in his book on Barcelona, that whole process. And I think it was Mark Ingler, who was the director who went to see Mourinho, who interviewed him, who was very, very impressed with Mourinho's presentation, with Mourinho's explanation of how he would do things, but came back with one big doubt. And essentially that was Mourinho's trouble. Mourinho's a fire starter. It's going to be problematic. He will be almost certainly a successful manager. There were one or two doubts about whether he fit the Barcelona mentality and the style, but actually at that point, you know, this is a manager who hasn't necessarily, although his Porto team was very defensive, hasn't necessarily shown himself, and Chelsea a bit less so.
Well, his Chelsea team, I think, were actually thrilling to watch. Like, his Chelsea team were genuinely, when they played with two, you know, two wingers, and they were a really good team to watch and a really scary team to face.
I think that's right. I mean, you look at that team with Iron Robin on one wing and Damien Duff on the other, really opening the pitch out. And so there was a belief that, this guy can be moulded to a Barcelona identity, which, by the way, at that point, is possibly not quite as, what would you call it, highfalutin and philosophical as it would become under Guardiola. Because, of course, the talk of identity gets reinforced by Guardiola's arrival. In the end, they choose Guardiola. There's a very famous line, which is my favourite one, of Guardiola meets Laporta. And Laporta tells him that, you know, I'm going to make you the manager. To which Guardiola says, you wouldn't have the balls. And of course he did.
What would have happened? How different could it all have been?
I remember an article written by El Mundo Deportivo on their front page. And on their front page, it was the team that we would have had Mourinho come in. And so it was after, I think it was after Guardiola had been named. It might have been just before, but at that point, people knew it was going to be Guardiola. But it was the team we could have had. And I actually think, look, first things first, I suspect it was very, very lazy on the part of Mundo Deportivo. They just made assumptions. Because that team included Michael Essien, Frank Lampard, and Iron Robin. Now, I don't know about you, but that smells very much like a newspaper going, who's he got at Chelsea? Oh, let's write these guys down. What would have happened? I don't know. What do you think would have happened? Certainly we wouldn't have had a lot of what came next, but would they have won the league that first season?
I mean, this is, to me, this is up there with the Di Stefano one that we had in terms of being so difficult to get yourself into the mindset of imagining what a Mourinho Barca team would have looked like. I guess the big question, like you say, is how long would he have lasted there? You know, would it have been, as it has been everywhere else, probably a year or two, and then it falls apart? You know, what would Guardiola have gone off and done in the meantime? And the big one, you know, the fact that we went on to have this, probably the iconic Classico rivalry between Guardiola and Mourinho. If, you know, if at least the Mourinho role is reversed, and he, you know, if he's at Barca, who would almost be the Real Madrid equivalent of Guardiola? You know, I mean, if the identities of the teams were kind of switched around, it's so interesting to think about.
Well, and as you say, the impact, of course, is everything, because Mourinho changes the way that Real Madrid see Barcelona and Barcelona see Real Madrid. He changes the dynamics at the heart of the Spanish national team. He changes the identity of Real Madrid, and of course Guardiola's arrival at Barcelona really reinforces, or maybe even changes, a Barcelona identity. If Mourinho had gone to Barcelona and been successful and it had all gone very well and there hadn't been many fires, would you have had the legacy that Guardiola leaves? Now, that's a legacy that's problematic for some coaches, because of course you can never match up to it. That kind of extreme Cruyffismo, for want of a better phrase. That obviously with Mourinho would not have happened. So then you say, you know, you wouldn't have got him at Barcelona. You wouldn't have got Inter Milan winning a treble and winning the European Cup for the first time in however many years it was, 45 years. You then don't get Mourinho at Real Madrid. You then don't get the impact on the Spanish national team. You then don't get, you know, sort of Mourinho's the next part of Mourinho's career. You don't get Guardiola going to Bayern Munich and going to Manchester City. This feels, as you're right, Al, this feels like something that's just immensely pivotal.